We continue with our series of Gripped by Grace, and this morning I looked at the story of a particular individual, and I entitled my talk this morning, A Reliable Revelation. And I want to continue with looking at the story this evening, and I've called my talk A Resistant Recipient. I wonder whether you've ever experienced this. You have made a phone call and the phone is answered and it says, "Thank you for ringing. You are number 22 in the queue. We will answer your call as soon as possible.
Your call is important to
us. Let us provide you with some music to calm your frustration." Doesn't actually say that, but how do you respond to that? I have to say that it drives me to distraction. I am not a person that necessarily finds it easy to face delays. I find that other than when I'm sitting by a lake, when there I can be quite happy with the delay that is taking place whilst I wait for something to happen. In my case, it happens fairly frequently. In John's case, it happens very infrequently. And in Colin's case, it never happens at all. But having said all of that, to say that if I'm in traffic and I'm sitting in a traffic jam, oh, it's so frustrating. I'm thinking, my life is passing me by here and I haven't got as long left as I've had. Why do I have to stay sitting here waiting? I wonder whether that's how you feel sometimes when it comes to the things that God says. I wonder whether you get to that point where you think, this is never ever going to happen. But you see, delay does not mean denial. And delay sometimes has a reason for it. And so in Luke chapter 1 this morning, we looked at this reliable revelation, a message from an angel that said to the recipient, who was Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. And you need to know your prayers are heard. And the requests that you make do arrive in heaven. Unlike the post office, they are not lost or discarded by a postman who's fed up delivering them through the door. When you pray, heaven hears your prayer. But the problem we have is that when things are delayed and the expectations we have are not met, the result can be that we can get to a point where first of all frustration comes, then disappointment comes, and eventually we fall into the trap of actually thinking, even though we have not heard anything from God, in actually thinking that God is denying us that we are looking for. So that when the time does come for God to step in and then do something in our lives in fulfillment to the prayer that we have been praying, our response is similar to the response that we see from Zechariah. It could be summed up in the words, "It's too late," but it's summed up in the words, "I'm too old. I'm too old." It would have been all right a few years ago. It would have been all right when I was in my teens, 20s, 30s or 40s. But I need you to know that I'm now too old. Why is it that we become reluctant recipients of a word that God gives to us that's so dynamic and so remarkable and that leads us into a destiny, as we saw this morning, that we never expect to be led into? The first reason that we become reluctant recipients is because there is a diminishing in our vision. We begin to see things from a human perspective. We begin to look at our own abilities, our own strength, and our own lives. And so when God brings a word to us that says, this is what I'm going to accomplish in your life, this is what I'm going to bring to birth in your life, our immediate response is, no, that can't be me, not now. Not now. Because I've now reached the point where I am not able to accomplish or do what you are asking me to do. Has your vision diminished as time has gone on? And as certain promises that God has given to you, certain things that God has said to you have not yet come to fruition. Have you arrived at that point where, as far as you're concerned, the delay means that there's been this downward spiral in your faith and in your expectation? There is a sense in which you have lowered your sights. We saw this morning that as far as Zechariah and Elizabeth's lives were concerned, they were still completely dedicated, committed to serving God. They were still fulfilling their duties. They were still going to church. They were still going into the place where God's presence was. But despite all of that spiritual life, there was something that happened in their lives that meant that they no longer had that real sense of expectation that there were certain things that God could do. There was almost a sense in which not only was there a diminishing of the vision of themselves, but there was also a diminishing of their vision of God. You see, their response, or Zechariah's response, was, God, you're not capable of doing this that you're telling me. God, I hear what you're saying, but this is just not possible. Now, I want to say that I really sense for some of you that you need to once again begin to allow your eyes to be lifted up to see the majesty and glory of God in all his goodness and in all his greatness, and to really hold on to and take hold of those words that we've just sung, you're all I need as I seek your face. See, here in that context, when we seek the face of God and we discover God revealing himself to us, it elevates our vision of God, our understanding of God, our knowledge of God, and the recognition that nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. Therefore, no matter how we may see ourselves, no matter what we may think about ourselves, no matter what limitations we feel that we have, when God gives us a word and directs us in a certain path and a certain way, we can know that if that is a word from heaven, he will give us all the resources we need to be able to accomplish that. And so many of God's people discovered that. So many of God's people found themselves at the point when it looked as though everything had gone, when suddenly God stepped in and brought restoration and renewal. Do you know, God doesn't like it when our vision is diminished of either him or ourselves. And so when Zechariah turns round to the angel and says, I'm too old. How is this possible? In a righteous sense, the angel got a little bit annoyed. And the angel, and I can just imagine this authoritative response. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He has sent me to bring this message to you. I can almost feel that sense of slight annoyance and aggravation in the angel's voice. Now, I don't know whether angels can get annoyed or aggravated. I think they can, because Maureen does. But but nevertheless, here is the angel saying, okay, mate, let me tell you what's going to happen now. You obviously need time to be able to restore your vision, and restore your understanding of how great God is. So I'm going to give you time to do that. You are now not going to speak until the promise is fulfilled. Now that was not a few days. There was a natural process that had to take place here, in case any of you think that this is a supernatural birth. This is a very natural birth. And so here is Zechariah, suddenly from that moment, dumbstruck at the news he just received. He was unable to communicate from that moment on, other than by sign language. Why is it the angel did that? Do you know, sometimes if we said less and thought more, we perhaps get a better understanding of what God is doing. And sometimes God requires us in our silence to begin to develop an understanding of who he is and what he's all about. There's something about that sense of quietness. Now I have to say, and many of you know this, that I struggle with being silent. It is not something that comes naturally to me. Now Simon, he's very happy with that sense of silence and that sense of just waiting for God to come and bring revelation. For me, it is not something that is natural for me. But it certainly is something I recognise is vitally important. We can so often enter into the presence of God and we can spend so much time telling God about what we want, what we expect, who we are and all the issues that we face, that we do not give God the time for him actually to speak to us. When you are silent, it means that phrase, I can't get a word in edgeway, no longer applies. When we are silent, it means that we are there far more concentrating on what is being said to us rather than what we are saying to God. And so here was Zechariah developing this understanding between the time of receiving the promise of what would happen to the time that it actually came to fruition. Does it mean that was wasted time? No, it wasn't. In that time, not only was there a developing understanding, but also in that time there was the development of what was going to be birthed in a very natural sense. See, one of the things I recognise about Zechariah is that even though he had all those doubts, and even though he had all those questions, the fact remains that after he left church, he still took the action necessary to create the opportunity for the vision to come into fruition. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail of what this action involved. I will leave you to work that out for yourselves. But as I pointed out this morning, unlike with Mary, who was empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring into birth Jesus, this was an act that was a human act where this couple had to do what they did in order that pregnancy might come. And so although Zechariah was silent, he was not inactive. He began to take whatever action was necessary in order that he could bring about the fulfillment of the promise that God had given to him that he had doubts over. And for some of you, you might have the doubts, but you still need to take the action even though you have the doubts. You might have that sense of feeling, I just cannot see how this can be, but you need to be able to understand and receive from God what he wants to give to you at that moment in time that he spoke the promise into your life. You need to begin to fulfill and to do the things that are in place so that what can be birthed can be brought into fruition. And so this is a development of Zechariah's understanding. You see, we have to at times grow in our experience and knowledge of God. For some of you, I sense that there is on one hand your desire for there to be birthed into your life particular ministries, gifts that particularly operate, ways in which you can particularly serve God. And that is very much sitting in your heart. It's something that's very much on your mind. It's something that you've really felt that God has spoken to you about. And it's time for you to begin to take what necessary action that you need to take in order that you might bring into fruition what God wants to do and what God has said. As an example, in my own life personally, many, many years ago when I was young, probably in my late teens, early 20s, when I went along to church in those days, it's less so now, but in those days, most weeks, there would be a message in tongues. And the message in tongues, the Bible says if there is a message in tongues, then there needs to be an interpretation of that message. Now, there is a different viewpoint on what Paul is saying when he talks about how that when there is a message in tongues, then to someone there is an interpretation given. There are some who take the view that there is the message of tongues given by one person, and then there is an interpretation given by another. Very often that is the way it does operate. However, I also do think that the person who gives the message in tongues needs to be prepared to be the one that also gives the interpretation as well. Because the whole area of the gifts of the Spirit operate in the context of faith. So that there are certain gifts of the Spirit where you need greater faith to be able to operate within them. And so coming back to my story, I was very much aware of the fact that whenever a message in tongues was given by whoever it was given in the congregation, that included myself at times, that it was always the pastor who gave the interpretation. Irrespective of whether he felt good or not, whether he felt on top of the world or not, whether he felt spiritually in tune or not, the expectation of the congregation was the pastor will give the interpretation for this. And I really felt God challenge me on that and begin to say to me, why should it always be the pastor? The Bible says, look for and covet the best gifts. Why don't you ask the giver of the gifts to give you the gift of the ability to interpret? And so I began to do that. And on one particular evening during the week at a midweek prayer meeting, there was a time when I really felt God give me a particular verse of scripture. And as I began to do what all good spiritual boys do, I began my prayer with that verse. I found myself in this strange situation where there were times when I was praying things that I thought about, and there were times when I was saying things that I hadn't thought about at all. And so I went to my pastor to ask what on earth had been going on, and many of you know that it was Maureen's dad, Bill. And Bill said, well, what in fact was happening was that there was an ebb and flow of your faith. And that at certain times, your faith was such that you were beginning to move prophetically. And then there were other times when your faith dropped and you began to pray. And so there was this mix of prophetic and prayer, prophetic and prayer. And you need to learn to just operate in faith. And to recognize that if you're beginning to operate in that area, then you also have the ability to be able to interpret tongues as well. You might think that was good news. The problem with being related to the pastor, even if you were at that time only going out with his daughter, or I'm not sure we were married by then or not, but the following Sunday, we arrived at Sunday service. I was praying hard. Lord, don't let anybody speak in tongues. Lord, don't let anybody be in a spiritual place of blessing. Don't let anybody speak in tongues. Because I knew what was likely to happen if that did arise. And sure enough, someone came and gave a message in tongues. And I remember sitting in the congregation thinking, go on then, Bill. You give the interpretation, as you always do. And you know how that it seems as though time just drags on when you're sitting there waiting for something to happen and nothing is happening. So I opened my eyes to peek to see what Bill was doing. What Bill was doing was he was looking straight at me, waiting for me to open my eyes to peek to see what was happening. And as I looked at him and he saw me looking, he said, over to you. And so I suddenly found that I was ending the place where I really had to throw myself on God and say, well, Lord, just give me the faith to take this step that I need to take in order that there might be birthed in my life and experience that which I've been praying for. And God was very gracious, and in many respects that was the beginning of that whole experience in my life of operating within the realm of the prophetic. You see, action was needed in order that that which was to be birthed could be birthed. And some of you need to be aware, until you take the steps necessary for that which is to be birthed in your life, until you take the steps necessary for that to happen, it will not happen. But the second thing I want you to notice is that in this particular story, there was a delivery date. There always is a delivery date when there's a natural birth. I know that fact, because I've had the four children, Maureen's had the four children, but nevertheless I knew when the delivery date was expected to be. And when the delivery date is known, it does get more and more exciting on the one hand, as you think about what is about to take place, but you're also a bit more apprehensive at the same time. Amazingly, our eldest son will be 50 tomorrow. So we will probably give him a call tonight. And I will remind him that I retired from my secular job at 50 with a pension. But that probably won't bless him if I tell him that. But nevertheless, you know, I can remember the news when Maureen first discovered that we were going to have our first baby. There was a similar sort of sense of excitement and expectation when our grandchildren began to come along. Indeed, in one case, we received a Christmas card, and when we opened up the Christmas card, this little X-ray thing fell out. And we both said, what on earth is this all about? And then when we looked at it, we saw it was the image of a baby. A baby that had not yet been born, but that image of that child that was developing and growing that would ultimately come and be birthed into this world. There was a delivery date. Some of you need to know the prayers that you have asked for, there is a delivery date for them. And with any delivery date, if we talk about it, look at it from a natural birth point of view. If a natural birth takes place too soon, that is both dangerous and also potentially could involve in death itself. Similarly, if it is too late, that creates major problems and difficulties as well. There is a right moment when the delivery is to take place and the birth is to come. And in the things that God sometimes does in our lives, there are some times where there isn't a delivery date that's necessary set upon them, but there are other times when there is a delivery date. In one sense, as we look at the life of Joseph, Joseph tried to supersede the delivery date that God has set upon his life for him to see the fulfillment of the dream he had. And the result of that was, He ended up being sold into slavery and ended up in prison until eventually a time came and he tried to, even in prison, rush things along. When he said to the butler, when you get out of prison, because I've interpreted your dream, make sure you tell Pharaoh about me. The Bible tells us that the butler forgot all about him. And he was stuck in prison, from memory, I think, for another 2 years. Until the delivery date came. Some of you need to be aware that in the delivery date that God has set for that vision, for that promise, for that answer to prayer, that you need to know that that delay is necessary, and it's not actually delay, it is the opportunity and the development that needs to take place in order that you might be prepared and ready for what God is going to release in you and what God is going to release through you. And if you try to thwart that, and if you try to in some way stymie that, then the result will be that it will not be as in accordance with what God wants to accomplish or do, and it could indeed lead to damage and to difficulty. See, the fact is that God is dependable, and in the destiny that Zechariah and Elizabeth was entering into, it was both amazing. And it was something that was in some respect quite scary. And I said out this morning that for this couple, life was never going to be the same again. So when I asked the question of all the ladies who were 50 plus, how would they feel about getting a message that said to them they were going to have a baby? And that for the men, that at their age, which... for some of us is now getting on the bit. So, you know, I just tried to think what it would be like for me as a 74-year-old to be told that Maureen was pregnant and that she was going to have a baby. Now, I really have to say, as much as I love babies now when I can hold them and then hand them back. The idea of changing nappies all over again, the idea of being awake all night whilst they scream, that sense of knowing that your social life is totally ruined, that realisation that your diary is no longer dependent on your control, it's dependent upon what the baby wants. But that's what Zechariah and Elizabeth were about to experience. And bearing in mind how old they were, there wouldn't be many years left by the time that the youngster had grown up and gone and left home. But it's amazing how that in it all, we see that they discovered and saw how God deposited something in their lives which revealed something of his favour and his blessing. This is what Zechariah goes on to say. In these days, he has shown his favour. The Lord has done this for me. They are the words he spoke once he could speak again. When he got his voice back, the immediate and most important thing that he did was he began to praise God and began to honour God and to worship God and thank God for all that he'd done. And so I want to say this evening that if you are a reluctant recipient of what God has said, then let your vision be transformed to see the possibilities of what God can accomplish and do in your life based on the promises that is given to you. If you feel like giving up and getting frustrated with the delay and you're disappointed over the fact that God has not done what he's asked, what he said he would do, do not see that as wasted years and wasted time. Realize that there are things that you need to do in order that you might prepare for what is about to come. But to know that what will come, when it comes in that moment of time, which is the right time as far as God is concerned, it will release you into a destiny that is both amazing and awesome. I sense it for you as individuals. I sense it for us as a church gathering and group, that there is something that lies ahead, that as much as we've experienced and are thankful that all has been, there is something that's going to be birthed that is going to be even more amazing and more awesome. May God help us to be in tune with what he's doing and what he's saying for his glory. God bless you.